May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please do sit down. When I first read the set readings for today a few weeks ago, when I was starting to prepare for this morning, there was one verse that leapt out at me from the reading of the Acts of the Apostles that Daphne read for us earlier, where Luke, telling us about the trial of Stephen, said of the high priest and the council that they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Now, we have a saying in English that there are none so blind as those that don't want to see and none so deaf as those who don't want to hear. And I was wondering where that came from, so I did some Googling. Now, I expected it to be Shakespeare, but actually the first reference to this saying comes from somebody called John Heywood, who in 1546 wrote, "Who is so deaf or so blind as he that willfully will neither hear nor see?" I'd never heard of John Heywood, so I did some more searching online, and the Encyclopedia Britannica page told me he was a playwright and writer active in the court of Henry VIII. And he also produced a collection of English proverbs and sayings. So perhaps he didn't actually come up with it. It was perhaps already in existence. We don't know. But anyway, we can clearly see from Luke's account in Acts that the high priest and the council were willfully determined not to hear or accept anything that Stephen was telling them about Jesus standing at God's right hand in heaven. They were so determined that they were right and Stephen was wrong that they closed their ears and their minds to anything else. In the West, we live in countries where Christianity has for centuries been our core religion. We're fortunate we have ready access to the Bible. We can worship freely without any restrictions. Most of us learnt at school about Jesus. And for Christians, we do know that Jesus is, as St. John says in his Gospel, the way, the truth, and the life. Our culture, our laws, our whole society is still built around Christian values. So I wonder, why is it that in so many surveys we learn that people who recognise themselves as Christians are now in a minority in our country? And just in looking around in church this morning, we can see how few people are regular worshippers in our churches. Many people will, without even recognising where the words have come from, use phrases and expressions from the Bible in everyday conversation. So have we become a people who, like the high priests and the council, don't want to hear? Or is the Christian message somehow too hard? Or is the truth just that we're not spreading the message of the gospel as well as we need to in our modern society? But I suspect, actually, through the ages, people have pondered that conundrum and thought about that. Throughout history, people have claimed that God is with them and they are in the right, as they then go on to do awful things to fellow humans, which we now look back on with horror. Perhaps that's part of the problem for the church, our history, because we have got so many things wrong in the past. I wonder what future generations will make of our attitudes today when they look back on us as their history. Will they be shocked at our actions in ignoring the warnings about climate change, our treatment of the poor, and the huge gulf between the haves and have-nots in our world? In the same way that we're shocked at the way the poor used to be treated in the workhouses in the past. Are we going to be leaving a legacy of Christian values and of the way Jesus wants us to live for our descendants? In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is explaining to his disciples once again about his death and resurrection, telling them that the only way to the Father is through him. I wonder what tone of voice we hear Jesus using when he replies to Philip, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me?" Do we hear exasperation in his tone? How many times do I have to tell you this? Or do we hear compassion and love as he carefully tells his disciples who he is as many times as he needs to for them to remember after he is gone? I like to think we all hear Jesus as being compassionate and loving. That was the tone I was aiming for, whether I succeeded or not, when I read the gospel earlier. Although exasperation would probably be the kind of response I think any human might be in danger of giving just without thinking. And my family will tell you I'm not noted for my patience, so I know I've got a long way to go to become more like Jesus in that respect. Jesus tries in so many different points, in all four of the Gospels, and in so many different ways to prepare his followers for what has to happen. He perseveres repeatedly. The disciples aren't being dim or slow-witted. What Jesus is telling them is so outside human experience up to that point. It's an incredibly mind-blowing concept that someone can die and come back to life. They're not refusing to hear, like the chief priest and the council. They hear, but don't fully understand. Now, we have the benefit of hindsight. We know what happened on Easter morning, so it's a bit easier for us to understand. Although even for us, being able to understand it in a way that we can explain it to others isn't easy. But like Jesus did, we need to persevere in telling others about Jesus and what he's done for us and for all of them. Now, we all know that following Jesus is not always easy, and that sometimes we'll all get it wrong. But equally, sometimes we will get it right. And in those moments, we catch a glimpse of Jesus and his light. As Jesus did with helping his disciples understand who he really was and what was going to happen to him, we must persevere and keep going. Sometimes we will trip up, but those are times when we just have to pick ourselves up, set our sights on Jesus, and try again to become more Christ-like and loving of others. Amen.
Amen.